Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you this morning for the great opportunity that we have to come and to open your word. We're so thankful for the time we've been able to worship together. Thank you for those who've led us in that worship. We thank you, Father, for now the opportunity to open your word and see what it would teach us about this greeting. It sounds so simple. But Father, help us to understand the depth of it, the importance of it this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Why did you come to church today? Melvin Newland has this little poem that I thought was good. He says, "Some go to church to laugh and talk, and some go there to walk the walk. Some go to church to meet a friend, and some go there an hour to spend. Some go to church to find a bride, and some go there a fault to hide. Some go to church to celebrate, and some go there to agitate. Some go to church to doze and nod, but the wise go there to worship God." Good reminder, isn't it? And you know, when we think about worship, so often we think about the vertical aspect of worship, and it's true, very, very true. When we're together, we do spend time, and the worship time is a time of that where we just think and focus upon the Lord and just verbalize to Him how great and how awesome He is. And that's certainly a part of worship. But if we look in the Scriptures, we find that like in Acts 2:42, it said that the early church was continually devoted to these things, to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Now, in the things they were continually devoted to, there was certainly a vertical aspect. They were worshiping, they were praising God. But there was also a horizontal aspect to their devotion, and that is their fellowship with each other. And that's very much a part of our worship time together, for sure. You know, when it comes to communicating, I think we're challenged. We can be challenged today. Because when I think about communication in years past, I think about visits that used to be made, maybe from one person to another in their home, or one family to another in their home. Perhaps they weren't able to be physically present, so maybe they wrote a letter. And at my home, there's a shelf or a tray of letters that I wrote to Beth when we were engaged. I can't believe how long those letters were. And it was good, but I'm just thinking, man, I need to work on the communication some more, you know. But we did that, or phone calls, you know, and we would talk to someone. If we couldn't be there, there's another way to communicate with them. Now, as the more technology we get, sometimes the more challenging it can be. I mean, like today, we email a lot, and we do texting and maybe social media, and you know, we're just busy. So sometimes, you know, we can communicate, but sometimes it can be maybe a little more shallow, maybe not quite as personal. I just think as with some things we're challenged with, sometimes I think about details. The whole thing about the letters that I wrote to my wife, I mean, I used to write pages, right? And now I just send her like a one-sentence text, right? So a little bit different as far as how we communicate. So, you know, that whole thing. And then sometimes technology can challenge us in that the voice aspect may not be there so much. If we Skype, I know that's there. But I'm just saying, you know, in the physical aspect of it, it's hard, you know, even on Skype to reach out and touch someone, right? And that's the challenge. And another aspect is the whole emotional aspect of our greeting or communicating with each other. So I think sometimes that can be challenged a little bit in our technology. Now, some of you might say, well, hold on a second, Dan. If I send you a text, I can also send you a little smiley face there, which is much, I'm not sure I quite buy that. But, you know, we're just challenged in that way. Well, it's important that we really practice greeting one another. And what we're going to focus on today is that whole aspect of greeting one another. So we continue on in our series of building up one another. The focus today is greeting one another, greeting one another. And there are really four things I want us to kind of look at this morning. We talked about the importance of greeting one another. First thing we're going to look at is just the word greet itself. Let's look at the word greet itself. The definition of it comes from the Greek word, which means to enfold in the arms. It can imply some type of a salute or salutation. Figuratively, it would mean welcome someone. It can mean embrace. A couple of things it does not mean. Let's just be clear on this, okay? This word does not mean that we are impersonal or it does not mean that we ignore one another. That's an antonym. It's opposite of what we're talking about. So that's the definition of the word greet. Barnes has said, really, as Paul is doing these greetings in this section of verses, it's a kind remembrance of the people he's talking to and certainly a well wish to them. Sly has said that this is an active command verb. In other words, we are to take the initiative to greet other people. That's the message that Paul was giving them. They were to take the initiative to greet those he was giving them the message to pass the greeting on to. Now, how does the New Testament use this word? Interesting usages of this word. In the New Testament, you'll find that this word, in its original Greek form, occurs 49 times in the New Testament. Interestingly, 16 of those times, in fact, about a third of those times, is in this Romans 16 passage that Gary read for us earlier. So a third of the times that this is used in this very section of Scripture that Gary has read. Now, I would like to just briefly take some time to read some, and I'm not going to have you turn with me because we're just going to throw out a lot of verses here, about some verses of the context that this is used, and just to give you a flavor of how this word is used in the New Testament. It's interesting in Matthew 5:47 that our Lord Jesus says, if you salute your brethren only, that word salute is the same word we're talking about, what do you do more than others? And what he's saying in that passage is, we need to not only greet our brothers, but we need to greet those who are enemies as well. So keep that in mind, that this word is not only to be applied to our brothers, so this is going to be application mostly what we're talking about, but it also has an application to those who may even be our enemies. Matthew 10:12, Jesus is talking to his disciples, says, when you come into a house that's hosting them, salute it, just greet it, and have that kind of warm connection with that person. In Mark 9:15, we're told that Jesus was saluted by the multitudes when they came to him after his disciples could not cast out a demon, and they were looking to Jesus then to sort of resolve the situation. You may remember it was after his transfiguration. In Mark 15:18 is the account of the triumphal entry. We're told that the crowds, they saluted him, Jesus. They welcomed him warmly. You know, they embraced him, if you will. They certainly accepted him. Warm welcome to Jerusalem. In Luke 1:40, we're told that Mary saluted Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. There was, again, was that greeting there. We could go on and go to the epistles, where in Acts 21, we're told that Paul embraces the disciples and then goes to Macedonia. That word embrace is the same word we're talking about. In Acts 21:7, we're told that Paul came to Ptolemais and he saluted the brethren there. He welcomed, he greeted them. There was that warm welcome there. In Acts 21:19, Paul salutes the elders in Jerusalem. Going on to some other epistles, 2 Corinthians 13:13, Paul is telling the Corinthians, all the saints greet you. And then in Philippians 4:22, Paul tells the Philippians, all the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. We could go on and on and on with these verses. There are many more of them, but you get the idea. They're greetings, warm welcome, if you will, from one aspect of the body of Christ to the other. Maybe it's an individual to an individual, or an individual to a church, or in some cases, a group of churches to a specific church. So many different ways it's used. But in that time, the early Christians in these epistles were sort of charged to, hey, greet each other, welcome each other, warmly engage one another. That's sort of the idea there. So that's the word greet. And for further study, you could certainly look those words up. It's interesting, actually, to look at the different contexts in which it's used. So that's the word greet. But let's talk about, for a few moments, just the idea of the culture. The culture, when we talk about these verses together this morning. First of all, I'd just like to talk about the literary form briefly. A scholar by the name of Mullins talked about the literary form that we find in the epistles and in letters, actually generally in the first 100 years after Christ came. He mentioned that it wasn't uncommon in that time for the greeting of a letter to occur not at the start, but at the end. And in fact, if we look at where this whole section of greeting is in the book of Romans, it is towards the end. So we see that plays out right there. He goes on to say that the purpose of these greetings was really to establish a bond of friendship. That was the purpose of all the greetings that you heard. It's to establishing the bond of friendship. Well, how do you establish the bond of friendship? It's those contacts you have, those initial contacts you have with people. And they're so important in establishing that bond. He mentions that, and it's no news to you as Gary read through those verses with us, that really the intellectual content with there, you're not going to glean necessarily a lot of doctrine there, but the idea isn't so much to teach us a lot during the greetings, but to help us really build an emotional bond with each other, to establish those relationships, as we've already mentioned. The author went on to say that so many of the greetings that are done in the Scriptures, especially in the New Testament, are second person. And he says, especially in the case of this epistle to Romans, where we have so much of the second person greeting that's going on, where it is that Paul is having someone else greet someone instead of him greeting them directly, it is implying really that you have here a group of Christians that have a series of very close relationships. So when we read this chapter in Romans, Romans 16, what we ought to really understand about that is that we have here a church that has a lot of close connections with each other. And it's evident from the way that Paul is passing on these greetings. So that's one, the literary aspect of the culture is important to understand. The second one, you may have noticed, in fact, I bet you didn't miss it, in verse 16 of chapter 16, where Paul says, greet one another with a holy kiss. Anyone catch that? You have a little, maybe, holy anxiety with that when that was read? Well, culture, let's talk about that for a second. Actually, the Scriptures don't just say it one time. We have it in this place. And then also in 1 Corinthians 16, Paul says to the Corinthians, greet one another with a holy kiss. 2 Corinthians 13, 12, Paul tells the Corinthians again, greet one another with a holy kiss. In 1 Thessalonians 5:20, Paul says, greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. 1 Peter 5:14, Peter, to those he's writing to, says, greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. So we find in five different times where the greeting is connected with a kiss. John MacArthur said that at the time in the Old Testament, the kiss was given to the forehead, applied to the cheek or the beard. And actually, even though that was true in the Old Testament, it was carried over in the New Testament, where you have the Jews and the Gentiles coming together to form the church. These commands were given in these joint groups. You have to understand that many times, whether it was a Jewish believer or whether it was a Gentile believer, these people maybe even had to leave their homes because of their new faith. They're coming into this group, and the kiss was a very family way to show your welcome of someone. And so they were greeting each other saying, hey, I'm not just greeting you, but you're family. And I want you to know that. And so that was the way that they would communicate to each other. They would communicate that to one another. So we need to understand that. Well, you know, even today, there are those who exchange kisses in that way. If you go to an airport where foreigners are greeting one another, maybe from certain parts of the country, you'll see them greet one another with a kiss to the cheek, perhaps. If you watch the news from the Middle East, you'll sometimes see the dignitaries exchange these cultural kisses, if you will, with one another. You know, Gene Getz, in his book, talks about the Russians who have a very interesting way of greeting each other. The men will greet the other men with a kiss to the lips. Same thing with the women. They'll do that. He went on to say that if you went to a place like Brazil, you'd find that the men would hug other men. That's their way of greeting. When men and women greet, the men will actually kiss women on the cheek, but the woman has to initiate. So there's a protocol even with that type of greeting. In New Zealand, Gene Getz found out that when he was greeting some of the men there, they actually greeted one another by the men sort of rubbing their noses. So that's kind of a weird sensation. So are you feeling a little bit like awkward right now? Like, where are we going with this? Any of you want to run out of here yet? Yeah, so Charlie wants to run out. Hang in there with me, Charlie. You know, the thing about the holy kiss, I just want to mention this briefly, that when Paul mentions the holy kiss, the thing we need to understand from that is that whatever form of cultural type of greeting we have, it ought to be holy, it ought to be pleasing to God. In other words, it ought to be nothing inappropriate before God with whatever type of cultural exchange or greeting we may have. The other thing is it ought to be honoring to the other person, because remember, the purpose of these greetings is to establish a bond of friendship. So if we're doing something that's going to weird someone out, right, that's not really blessing them. That's really just putting them in an awkward situation. So we need to be aware of that. Gene Getz talks in his book about the difference between the function and the form. The function is the greeting. We need to be greeting one another. The form, if you will, was the kiss or the holy kiss that he talked about. It's interesting to me that really of the 49 times where this greeting is mentioned, only five times does it really combine it with the kiss. So I don't think that necessarily the message is we have to greet with a kiss, although I think there was certainly some cultural application to that at the time. So having said that, some of you are going, okay, because today, you know, we usually shake hands, right? Maybe give a high five or a wave even. In fact, during flu season, that might be a very gracious way to greet one another, right, rather than spread our germs. So, you know, there are some culturally accepted ways. Some people feel comfortable with a hug and maybe fewer with a kiss. Some families in our day do that. But for most people, a handshake or pat on the back or whatever is plenty sufficient. And that's what our comfort level is in this culture. So relax. We're not asking you to go beyond what our cultural norms are here as we greet one another. But I would say this. We can't be too comfortable either, because if God would have us work with other brothers and sisters around the world, we may find ourselves sometimes in situations where we get challenged a little bit. I've shared with this before, but when I was in India, one of the things that was common for the men to do over there in their friendship is you'd see men walking down the street like holding hands. And I thought to myself, boy, I'm glad that's not the way it is in the U.S. And then I was taking a break between classes one day. We were walking out to the street just to exercise their legs a little bit. I'm walking down the south and this guy like grabs me by the hand and he's holding my hand. And it's like, I have a moment decision. Am I going to like shake it off, which is what I felt like doing culturally? Really? It's like, oh, what are we doing here? But I knew that that would really destroy that man. So I held his hand. We walked down to the end of the driveway and those were dear brothers in Christ. So that experience taught me that even though, you know, we're not trying to press anything that's abnormal socially in our area, we need to be open. If we minister to people in different parts of the world, we may find ourselves in that position. So it's made me come to the point, if I ever found myself in a cultural setting where like some guy did like plant a holy kiss on me, could I handle that? I think by God's grace I could. But I'm not looking for it. I just want to be clear. Right? So we just need to be aware that, you know, cultural welcomes are, we need to recognize they're out there. We need to be gracious about it. But the idea is that we're really showing that type of expressing care and concern and acceptance of someone. So that's the culture. And I think it's important to understand that when we're talking about this whole idea of greeting. Now, let's talk about the importance of greeting. The importance of greeting. First of all, to one another. Let's talk about the importance of greeting one another. When Gary read this passage earlier, maybe you had the just gut feeling, oh man, this is about as exciting to me as Old Testament genealogy someplace. Because there are a bunch of names here that I can't read, can't understand. How important is this really? Well, let's just be clear about this. This is important, I think, for several reasons. Chuck Sly has mentioned these, and I just want to share these with you because I think they're very valid, even in our own day. Greetings are important because, firstly, they show us that it's important to acknowledge other believers. It's important to acknowledge other believers. Do you realize that in the first 24 verses of this chapter, 26 different people are named? So definitely individuals had real meaning to Paul, and he acknowledged them before the other believers. Someone has said that the family used to be a one man, one woman, 2.5 children, suburban house with a white picket fence, and you had hamburgers on your grill on Saturday afternoons. Sort of the typical American family. Today, though, what we find out in our churches is not all families are made up that way. Sometimes you have single parents. Sometimes you have people who are mobile. They're moving around a lot. They never get to settle in a place for very long, so they kind of feel like they're all by themselves, or some people are just hurting. So one thing we need to understand is that some people just really have that need to be acknowledged. Hey, hi, Joe, Mary, good to see you. They just need to have that kind of family recognition, which is so important. And in the body of Christ, we can do that. So acknowledgement is the first value that it has. Secondly, it has a commendation purpose to it, commending someone else. It's interesting that it's been noted that there are 12 times in the New Testament where the greetings are personal in nature, meaning the person is introduced, and then something about them is said or committed. You realize that all 12 of those occur in Romans chapter 16 in this chapter that we've read this morning? 12 different personal greetings. You know, it's important even in our conversations to recognize not only the person, but to commend them as well. I mean, I don't know about you, but I find myself when I'm greeting different people in the church or introducing certain people in the church, I may say, so-and-so, this is so-and-so. He's one of our elders. Or this is... this is Linda, and she, you know, helps us do the technology in the back on Sunday mornings. And or this person just really called me the other day and was a big encouragement. So as we're introducing one another, we have a chance to commend one another to each other. And that has a value too. It's building up the body. Remember, the series is building up one another. Well, we build up others as we not only introduce people and acknowledge them, but say, just tell how they've been a blessing in our life. Here's Jim. And Jim conducts our Sunday school ministry. And for years he's done that. He's a good friend of mine. He calls me and we talk. And you know, just commending someone like that is an important thing to be able to communicate with people. It helps build value. And we recognize the value of our relationships with one another. So commending is another purpose of these greetings. We're not going to go through all these, a lot of names, but I'd like to just briefly highlight three of the people who Paul commends in this chapter, just to show you what he does here. We look at Romans chapter 16, verses 3 and 4. We have Priscilla and Aquila. And verse 3 says, this, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who for my life risk their own necks, to whom not only do I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Also greet the church that is in their house, the first part of verse 5 says. Here Paul is commending this couple to the rest of those who are there at Rome. He's saying that this couple who is introduced in Acts 18, 1-3, they're from Corinth. They've given sacrificial labor, and they've even put their necks on the line. Not only Paul, but all the churches there should be thankful for what they did. He was commending them, recognizing what they had done. That's an important thing to be able to do with one another. And then the second example, if you look with me at Romans chapter 16, verse 13, we have this man by the name of Rufus. Verse 13 says, greet Rufus, a choice man in the Lord, also his mother and mine. Paul points out a couple of things about Rufus. One thing, he's a choice man. He's a valuable man. He's like giving him, this is a blue star kind of guy. Greet him. And also his mother and mine, making the implication there that Rufus's mother had apparently had quite a ministry to Paul. He viewed her as sort of like a mother figure at this point. So he's commending Rufus and his mother. Now, we're not going to turn there this morning, but if you turn to Mark chapter 15, verse 21, which is the gospel that Mark wrote, and it was the gospel to the Romans, Mark makes mention in there that Rufus is the son of Simon of Cyrene, the one who bore the cross of Christ, meaning leading many to believe that this Rufus was actually the son of the man who bore the cross of Christ. And you can see that what a precious family this must have been, not only to Paul, but to the rest of those who were Christians at this time. And finally, verse 23, if you take a look at the man by the name of Erastus, there's not a lot there about him, but we're told that you're to greet Erastus, the city treasurer, greets you, is what they were told. Now, one thing we needed to recognize is in 1 Corinthians 1:26, Paul is talking to the Corinthians. He says, you know, there are not many wise among you, not many mighty. But here we have Erastus, who was a treasurer in the city of Rome. Now, what you have to understand is that this man had a position of great responsibility and a man of great honor in that area. He would have been respected by the people of that community. So we need to understand, and what we learned from just reading the short snippet of Romans 16 is that even in the Church of Rome, where most of them were probably slaves and others, that here was a man who had a place of high position. So you had both of those groups, elements, and many different people involved in the church in Rome. Well, we could go on and on, but Paul's not only acknowledging, but he's commending people in the early church. But thirdly, the real value of greeting one another is just to express affection. The whole idea of going back to verse 16, greet one another with the holy kiss, express your greeting to one another, even in a physical way. Be able to acknowledge one another and you know, express that affection to one another. So that's the value to us as believers, to one another. But what is the value to those who are unbelievers? I'd like you to turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 13 and verse 35. Perhaps you've memorized this verse, but I'd like us to just turn there and just refresh our memory of this passage of Scripture. You see, there's great value to us treating one another in a Christ-honoring way. And one of those things, of course, is greeting one another. But what happens when we do this for one another? John 13, 35 says this, by this all men will know you're my disciples if you have love one for another. And certainly greeting one another is a way that we can show that love for one another. So it has great importance to one another, yes, but also to unbelievers. Well, we've talked about the word greet. We've talked about some cultural aspects of that. We've talked about the importance of it. Finally, this is where the rubber meets the road, so to speak. Let's talk about the application of this. The application of this. I want to borrow the three steps that Gene Getz used in his book as we think about greeting one another. The first step is this. We need to live in harmony with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Live in harmony with brothers and sisters in Christ. You might say, well, why is that important when it comes to greeting? Well, listen, if you've got some problems with others who are in the part of the body of Christ, how motivated are you going to be to greet them if you don't even want to talk to them because you've got this beef with them or something's not right? So we need to make sure our relationships with one another are open and that there's nothing that's an issue or nothing that we have a problem with someone, but try to make our relationships as resolved as possible. That's an important thing. So that's the first step, is to be in harmony with our brothers and sisters. You know, if we don't do that, and we're upset with this brother and this sister and this person and this person, this person, before long, we're not wanting to go to church very much, are we? Got all these problems with these issues. And we don't want to do that. So we need to resolve those issues. Secondly, we need to develop a sincere interest in others. Develop a sincere interest in others. In other words, we need to choose to care. We need to choose to care about each other. Listen, you may come here. You may have a lot of things on your mind. Well, when I get done today, I need to do this. We need to do this. We need to lunch. We need to do this. We have all kinds of things that just weigh down our life about issues in our own life. But are we willing to take some time and set it aside and you say, you know what, I'm going to take a few minutes here and I'm going to get to know this brother better. I'm going to get to know this sister in Christ better. I want to spend some time with them. Am I willing to choose to care about them? That's the second step we need to really take if we want to be a church that greets one another. The third step is we need to consider how we might show our physical affection to others in the body of Christ. How do we do that? How do we physically affirm our relationship with each other? Maybe you feel comfortable with a handshake. Great. Use it. Okay? Handshake is great. Maybe it's a wave. Okay? High five with kids or fist, right? All kinds of ways you can do that, right? But even that can show some real affection and concern, just to do that in ways that would be socially acceptable in ways that would demonstrate our care for someone else. So those are the three steps. I want to talk briefly about the idea of our focus in these types of greetings versus our superficiality. Gene Getz talks in the book about coming into a church, seeing a high school youth there, and he asks this youth, how you doing? And before the kid could even answer, he just went right by him. And he had one of his good friends pull him aside and said, Gene, I need to admonish you about something. Remember we talked about admonishment last week? I need to admonish you about something. At first, Gene thought he was teasing, but then he found out he wasn't. Because you see, what happened was, Gene came in and he asked this high school kid, how are you doing? And just as kind of that compulsory type greeting. And before he heard what the kid said, he just went on to make other greetings. What he didn't hear the kid say was this. He says, not so good. My brother was in a motorcycle accident today. And Gene had just gone right by him. Have you ever been guilty of that? Being in a conversation with someone and finding out later, oh, I didn't really follow up on what they said with that. I'll be honest with you. For me, personally, Sunday mornings can be some of the most challenging times for me when it comes to this whole issue. Because as I come on a Sunday morning, I mean, there may be some task I'm working on with someone else in the church. I'm wanting to connect with them on that. There may be some materials for someone else I'm trying to get to them. So I've got that. I've got all my friends I want to talk to. We've got maybe some new folks who are trying to meet and want to do that. So you've got all these things hitting you at once, and at times you can find yourself just scatterbrained with that. Does anyone else relate to that on a Sunday morning? Okay. So we need to just really focus on those relationships. And I'm really trying to work on it when I'm talking to someone, just really be focusing on that conversation. It doesn't mean it has to go on an hour, but it means that the time you are with them, you're engaged. You're not thinking about someone else or something else. It's a discipline, and I have to work on that. But so we want to be careful that we're focused and not just superficial in this. Now, here's the third thing. Let's face it, we just need to do it, right? The old Nike saying, just do it. I want to just suggest four ways that we can apply this whole greeting idea in our lives. The first one, and it has to do with the stickers that you were given today, okay? You have those on? Here's the application point of this right now. What I want to challenge you with is after the service this morning when we dismiss, I want you to greet three different people, okay? I want you to greet three different people. One of them being either a person you don't know or a person you don't get to talk to very much. Okay, because we all have our close friends, and that's great to do that. But I would encourage you to maybe reach out to someone who's new or someone you don't spend a whole lot of time with. And greet them. Say hello to them. And maybe even just ask them one question that will help you get to know them better in some way. Okay? It doesn't have to be profound, it doesn't have to be rocket science, but some way that we can get to know each other a little more. So that would be the challenge, the greeting goal this morning. The second way is just to greet in life. What do I mean by that? Well, have you ever been in a place downtown or something where you saw someone maybe from the church or maybe a neighbor or whatever, and you saw them and you had that choice, okay, do I engage them or do I talk to them or do I like go right on by? Has anyone ever gone right on by before? I have. Okay. And I'm not saying that you can always take that time. Maybe you really are in a rush. You're somebody's waiting on you or whatever. But sometimes we just need to build into our life the discipline of if we see someone we can engage with, do it. Do it in life. Do it at the grocery store. Do it downtown. Do it at the park or whatever. It's a discipline that we have to build. Not only people in our church family, but people in our neighborhood, other people that we're trying to get to know. It's a discipline that we can work on. The third way is that we can intentionally greet others. Intentionally greet others. In what way? Well, maybe we could write letters. Maybe that's a ministry you have, to write letters, to just let someone know you're thinking about them. And it's one way you can do it. I had to chuckle because my mother-in-law, Violet Lindstrom, many of you know her, she sends out birthday cards and anniversary cards. I'm sure a number of you have received them. I had to chuckle up in the hospital because after she'd gotten out of surgery, she's telling us about how she just had to make sure before her surgery, she's cramming to get the cards, final cards mailed before she went in. She takes that ministry really seriously, let me tell you. But, you know, she's disciplined with it. And sometimes we need to be disciplined in the ways that we greet one another. Maybe it's a card ministry. Maybe it's making a call to someone you haven't seen in a while. Just check in on it. A few minutes is all it takes. Maybe it's actually going to their place and visiting with them for just a moment. Maybe you even just stay on their porch. Maybe you don't have a lot of time. You say, you know, I really don't have time to come in, but I just wanted to come by and see how you're doing. I'll let you know I'm praying for you, thinking about you. I read an article one time years ago about the five-minute minister. You don't have to take an hour to minister to someone. Maybe just a five-minute touch. It's all it takes to let them know, hey, someone cared for me. Cared enough to check in with me. Cared enough to call. Cared enough to greet me in some way. That could be very meaningful to people. So consider that. The final greeting, the final welcome I would like to just mention this morning is this. You may be here today, and we've been talking about greeting one another and our relationships with each other as people here in the church family. But I want to just say this. There is one relationship that is more important than any other that we have with any person here, and that is our relationship with the Lord. And maybe that some of us here today don't have that relationship with Him. I'm going to tell you right now, the most important greeting, the most important welcome you can make in your life is to welcome Jesus into your life. But the three S's you have to be aware of, if that's going to take place. One, the first S is sin. You see, the Bible tells us all of us have sin in our life. Sin is disobedience to God. We've all disobeyed. And sometimes we're really blind to the ways that we do, but you read the Bible very much and you find out, oh yeah, I've sinned here too. But we've all sinned. And because of that, the Bible tells us we're separated. That's the second S. We're separated from Christ because of our sin. And we will be forever unless that relationship is made right with Him. But thank God. Third S that we need to be aware of is that Jesus came to be our Savior. He came and He died on the cross for us. He's raised again. And today He offers you and I the opportunity to come to Him and receive Him as our Savior. He wants to transfer us from the kingdom of darkness, which is full of sin, which we're a part of naturally. And He wants us to convert to the kingdom of light, where He's the King. He welcomes us to welcome Him into our life today. Would you do that? You can do it right where you sit. If you have questions, ask me after the service or someone who brought you. We'd be glad to share with you about being a Christian, what that means. John 1:12 says, as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to those who believe in His name. Matthew 11:28, Jesus says, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He wants to do that. Are you weary of your sin? Heavy laden, He welcomes you to come. Well, as we wrap up this morning, we've been talking about greeting one another, and really that's the final charge this morning. I want to encourage us as we leave to greet one another. in this place and as we leave this place, ask that God would help us make it a matter of discipline in our lives, that we greet one another, we warmly welcome, and you know, have those initial conversations with each other. If you read church leadership literature, one of the things you find out is there are studies on all kinds of things, but one of them is, what's the most important time for a visitor who comes to our church? What do you think the literature suggested? The most important time when a visitor comes to our church. All kinds of times where it could be. Studies suggest that it's the first 5 minutes after a service. So as we close the service out, you have prime time to make some connections. I'd encourage you to do that this morning. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for the time we've had this morning to worship together, to fellowship together, be in the Word again, and be able to fellowship again. What a great blessing it is. What a great thing it is to be a part of your family and to have that opportunity to fellowship with each other. Help us to take advantage of it. Help us to really take advantage of the opportunities in front of us. Father, I pray you'll go with us today. I pray you'll help us to honor you in the things that we think and say. And we pray this in Jesus' name.